Chapter 33. If you'd like to turn and read the scripture with me today, Psalm chapter 33. I'm going to start reading in verse number 12. And today I want to preach a message, Make America Godly Again.
Amen.
Make America Godly Again.
Amen.
Now, 4 years ago when now President Trump, but Donald Trump, who was running for president, his slogan was Make America Great Again. Well, he's tried that. I mean, he's tried to drain the swamp of all the snakes and the gators and the crocodiles, and he probably didn't realize that many venomous things in the swamp, but he's still working at it.
Yep.
And so I kind of took that phrase and kind of twisted a little bit, make America godly again. Psalms 33 and verse 12, blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord and the people whom he hath chosen for his own inheritance. The Lord looketh from heaven, he beholdeth all the sons of men. From the place of his habitation, he looketh upon all the inhabitants of the earth. He fashioneth their hearts alike. He considereth all their works. There is no king save by the multitude of an host. A mighty man is not delivered by much strength. An horse is a vain thing for safety, neither shall he deliver any by his great strength. Behold, the eye of the Lord is upon them that fear him, upon them that hope in his mercy, to deliver their soul from death and to keep them alive in famine. Our soul waiteth for the Lord. He is our help and our shield. For our hearts shall rejoice in him because we have trusted in his holy name. Let thy mercy, O Lord, be upon us according as we hope in thee. Let's stand today as we go to God in a word of prayer. I desire your prayers this morning. I told Myra, I woke up this morning with a headache. As a matter of fact, I've got a problem with my brain. Everybody knows that anyway. But I have a headache about all the time. Sometimes it's worse than others. So I just pray that you just pray that God would help me to bring this message this morning, all right? Our Heavenly Father, we're thankful for the opportunity and privilege it is to take your word and to rightly divide it this morning. I'm thankful, God, for this scripture. I'm thankful for this nation that I live in today. I'm thankful, God, for these folks that have come out to church today and those that are listening online as well. And I just pray, Heavenly Father, that your will be done in this service. Somebody that's within the sound of my voice today that's not a Christian, I pray, God, that you'd convict their heart of their sin. And I pray, God, that they would turn from sin and turn to you, and they would accept you as their personal Savior. God, I just pray for the families in this church. I pray for the youth in this church. I pray for the families, the husbands, the wives, Lord. Keep our families safe, and Lord, keep them from divorce. I pray, Heavenly Father, that you just lead us and guide us in this message this morning. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Now notice how our text begins. Blesses the nation whose. Now how does it continue? Whose president is Trump? No, it doesn't continue that way, does it? Whose stocks are on the rise? Nothing wrong with that. Good to have a good stock market. Whose health care law is still trying to be repealed? Whose factories moved back from Mexico? Whose border wall is being built? Whose friend is Putin? No, notice there in the scripture there in verse number 12, blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord.
Yes.
Blessed is that nation. Now, I believe that this nation at one time really depended upon God. Psalms 146 verse 3 says, put not your trust in princes, nor in the son of man in whom there is no help. And the Bible simply tells us there that it's vain to trust in men. Now, I'm thankful we have Donald Trump in the White House this morning. I'm thankful about that. I'm thankful that I want this nation to be a great nation again. But in order to do that, folks, we must begin to seek God in a way like we've never done before. I hope this nation wins every way that it can. I hope the unborn can win. Did you know that? I've often thought about the Black Lives Matter movement. I thought if they really cared about black lives or any life, they'd be trying to shut down the abortion clinics. And so I'm just simply saying there, I hope for prosperity for every one of us that's here today, for everyone that's listening. I'm trying to be optimistic, but I must be realistic as well. I believe when we go to the polls this November, we need to vote for principles, for morality, and the Bible says righteousness, which exalteth a nation. Nothing else will exalt a nation. Now, stock market's good. If you got any money invested in it, then I'm glad for you, okay? A lot of people have their money invested in cattle out there on the hills, and I know they're not bringing as much as they ought to. But we ought to vote for principle over the pocketbook. Right. Nothing wrong with being prosperous. Nothing wrong with you wanting to expand and upgrade the business that you have. But the scriptures are very clear that it's God who brings the increase. It's God who gives you the ability to go out and work and get that job and work that job and make that money and provide for your family. I'm hopeful for America to be great again, but that can only happen if America becomes godly again. I want to begin with the positive this morning. I think they're putting some things up on the board behind me there. There's much to be positive about. With all of the faults that we have today, America is still the greatest place on this earth to live. And I'm thankful to be a citizen of this nation, okay? Now, I'm more thankful to be a child of God. I'm more thankful that my name's written down in the Lamb's Book of Life, that my name's written down in heaven, and someday I'm going to go there. One of these days I'll lay this old body down, and as Brother Reg mentioned in Sunday school, this old body will go back to the dust, and few people ever remember that I was here, okay? But I'll have a better place to go, and that place is heaven. Let's look at America. It's still the greatest place on earth. Her greatness is not because of her beauty. A lot of beautiful places in this country. I remember standing there at Grand Canyon one time. Now, Myra was in better health then, and she would get to the Grand Canyon and stand on the very, very edge of it and look way over like that. I was back over here holding on to a tree somewhere with my mother. She was the same way. Her and Dad was, oh, isn't that beautiful? It was beautiful, but it was beautiful from a distance as far as I was concerned. Okay? I'm going to die somewhere, but, you know, Mama didn't raise the idiot, you know. And so I just stayed back from that. But there's much beauty. But beauty can be deceitful. Right. And the old saying is, ugly can go all the way to the bone. And so outwardly, this world we live in hosts some of the prettiest places on the earth, but that's not what makes America great. First of all, America is great because of the freedoms that she has. Amen. The United States of America is 244 years old this year. Now, in the historical perspective, we're just a young nation. As a matter of fact, we're just a child among the nations. When you think of Egypt and China and Japan and Rome and Greece and all of those nations that have been around for hundreds and hundreds of years, it makes America's history seem so short. I mean, what brief time we've been here as a nation, God has really blessed us. Let me just give you a little rundown here. When Thomas Jefferson died, Abraham Lincoln was a young man of 17. When Lincoln was assassinated, Woodrow Wilson was a boy of 8. By the time he died, Ronald Reagan was a boy of 12. And when Ronald Reagan was in office, Barack Hussein Obama was still eating dogs in Kenya. And so there you have it. If four presidents pretty much takes up the time that we have become a nation. We are so young, and yet we stand so tall among the nations because the principles on which we were established. There's a real tragedy today in America for anti-Americanism. They don't want you saluting the flag. Let me tell you, I believe in kneeling. But you don't kneel for the flag. You kneel for Jesus Christ, the begotten Son of God. You stand for the flag. Men and women have died representing that flag. They served. Many of you that are sitting here today have served fighting for that flag. My dad fought in World War II in the Philippine Islands, and many of your fathers and grandfathers and so forth did also. The real trend today is anti-Americanism, anti-patriotism. And the UN is doing much to strip us of our sovereignty. Yep. Revision history is used to undermine the character and integrity of our founding fathers. You know what they say our founding fathers were? They were deists. Now let me tell you what a deist is. They believe that God created, but he did not intervene in human affairs. Did God intervene when Moses was ready to cross the Red Sea? You bet he did. Did God intervene in the walls of Jericho that came down? I mean, it wasn't the strength of Israel that brought them down. Yeah. Israel just did exactly what God told them to do, and the Bible says that the walls came tumbling down. Amen. So I'm saying God does intervene in human affairs. When Abraham was ready to offer his son Isaac, had the knife ready to plunge it down into Isaac, did God intervene? Yes, sir. Absolutely, he intervened. I mean, he was the one that put the ram over there in the bushes, hung up by his horns.
Right.
He's the one that stopped the knife from coming down and taking the life of his only son. And I'm just saying that God always intervenes in human affairs.
Amen.
They also say that our founding forefathers were motivated by property. They were motivated by greed and desire for wealth. That's not true. If you do a study on the men who signed the Declaration of Independence, they had far more to lose than to gain.
Right.
Most were wealthy already. 24 were lawyers. 9 were landowners or rich farmers. 11 were merchants. Others were physicians, ministers, and politicians. All but 2 signed had families. They were educated men of standing in their communities. They knew security and prosperity, but there was something that was more important than security and prosperity to them, and that was freedom.
Amen.
They wanted freedom. They knew the penalty for treason was death by hanging, and yet they signed. John Hancock signed twice as large as the others. Somebody asked him, "Why'd you sign your name so big?" He said, "Now His Majesty can read my name without his spectacles." I thought that's pretty good. Stephen Hopkins was an old man. He was feeble. His hand shook as he signed his name on the Declaration of Independence. But he looked up and said, "Gentlemen," he said, "my hand trembles, but my heart does not."
Amen.
4 delegates from New York were particularly wealthy. At the time that they signed their names, British ships were nearing just a few miles off the coast when they signed. Most of New York had already evacuated. They and others were pursued. Some were captured and tortured. And of course, many died. Young people, you need to know when you look at this American flag over here that those red stripes are bars of blood paid by the price by men and women that went to war and fought so that you could be free today. It burns me when I see somebody burn the American flag. Somebody asked me, "What are you going to do? What should we do about it?" I said, "If they're going to burn it, you ought to wrap them in it. Wrap them up. If they're going to set it afire, let them set it afire then." I bet they wouldn't be so anxious to set the flag afire if they was wrapped up in it. I'm telling you, folks, that flag represents every drop of blood that's been shed to keep this nation free. That's the greatness of America.
Amen.
She's always been great for her freedoms. You don't see people leaving America and going across the waters to Cuba.
Right.
You don't see them fleeing across the southern border to live in Mexico.
Yeah, that's right.
You don't see them going across the northern border into Canada even.
Huh?
They're all wanting to come here. Yeah, and they'll do anything they can to get here and come here any way that they can.
Right.
What for? Freedom.
Yes, sir.
They want freedom.
Yes.
I don't blame them. I'm glad I'm free, aren't you?
Amen.
I'm glad I'm free. The second reason that America is great is because of her God.
Yes, sir.
Now, the revisionists want to rewrite history in order to undermine the character and integrity of the founding fathers. They also want to undermine our godly heritage.
Yep.
They try to tell you that this nation was not founded upon God. I don't know why some Americans cannot accept the roots that we have in this nation.
Amen.
I don't understand it. A South American president said years ago, "People came to my continent looking for gold, but those who came to America were looking for God."
Yes,
in 1620, the first pilgrims arrived. A little band of people crossed the Atlantic in a sailboat 26 by 113 feet. They landed on the Atlantic coast in the bitter cold of winter. When they stepped off the Mayflower, they signed a compact. I'm sure, well, I don't know what the history books say today, but when I went to school, it was called the Mayflower Compact.
Right, sir. Yeah.
And the second paragraph of that begins, "For the glory of God and the advancement of the Christian faith."
Amen.
Did you get that?
Yeah.
"For the glory of God and the advancement of the Christian faith." The first winter was rough. At times, the daily ration of food was 5 grains of corn per person, per day. 44 died in the first 5 months that they were here. 58 survived that first winter. In the fall of 1621, they reaped their first harvest, 21 acres of corn. You know what their immediate response was to thank God? They marched through the cornfields, singing, "The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, and the world and they that dwell therein."
Amen.
On December the 13th of that year, those 58 gathered with some friendly Indians, not Native Americans, friendly Indians, and celebrated 3 days of Thanksgiving. You know what they did those 3 days? They preached, they prayed, they sang, and they ate. Now, I think that I can see these people wanting God involved in their lives, okay?
Amen.
I can see that pretty well. And you need to check your kids' textbook, because many of them say that the pilgrims and the Indians met to thank one another. They met to give praise to God and to thank God and to preach and to sing and do all the things that we would do if we was in the house of God. In 1863, Abraham Lincoln proclaimed a National Thanksgiving Day. In his proclamation, he made an important and accurate theological point. He said, "We have been the recipients of the choicest bounties of heaven. We have been preserved these many years in peace and prosperity. We have grown in numbers, wealth, and power. No other nation has ever grown. But," he said, "we have forgotten God."
There it is.
That was Abraham Lincoln, okay? That wasn't some preacher. That was Abraham Lincoln. He said, "We've forgotten the gracious hand which preserved us in peace and multiplied and enriched and strengthened us. We have vainly imagined in the deceitfulness of our hearts that all these blessings were produced by some super wisdom and virtue of our own. Intoxicated with unbroken success, we become too self-sufficient to feel the necessity of redeeming and preserving grace, too proud to pray to the God that made us."
Well, that's good.
Right.
Amen.
Boy, he nailed that one down, didn't he?
Yes, sir.
Too proud to pray to the God who made us.
Right.
I mean, the preacher say, "I want you to pray this week." We just sit there. Okay. And we say, "God is great and God is good. Now I thank Him for the food. Amen." And that's the only prayer we pray all week long.
Yeah.
And nothing wrong with that prayer for a child. But we don't need to forget God. The Puritans gave their reasons for coming to America as well. In the opening sequence of the New England Confederation, it says, "Whereas we are all came unto these parts of America with one and the same end and aim, to advance the kingdom of our Lord Jesus Christ and to enjoy the liberties of the gospel in liberty and peace."
Amen.
Oh, I tell you what, don't sound like a much deist to me.
Right.
That sounds like somebody that wants to serve God.
Yeah.
Get blessed by the Lord. Benjamin Franklin was once challenged about having a political session opened with prayer. He said this. He says, "Sir," he said, "I've lived a long time. The longer I live, the more convincing proof I see of this truth, that God governs in the affairs of men. And if a sparrow cannot fall to the ground without His notice, it is probable that an empire cannot raise without His aid." He went ahead to say, "We've been assured, sir, in the sacred writing, that except the Lord build a house, they that labor in vain who build it."
Amen.
I'll tell you what's happened. Christians have been intimidated.
Yes.
They've heard the ACLU and they've heard Black Lives Matter. Black Lives Matter man was on TV the other day. He said, "If you don't change what we want changed, we'll burn this country to the ground."
Yeah.
Burn it to the ground. I saw that. You better stay up in New York, and San Francisco. You come down in here, old boy, you're going to find out you ain't going to burn us to the ground.
Amen.
Amen. People have been intimidated. They've heard the ACLU talk so much about separation of church and state. You know what they've done? They've actually begun to believe it.
Yep.
Say anything often enough, people will start to believe it.
Yeah.
Now, in case you don't know, or you've never read the Constitution, which I think probably most of Congress has not, but that phrase is not found in the United States Constitution.
Yeah.
However, it is found in Karl Marx's Communist Manifesto.
Yeah, there you go.
So just put yourself on which side you're on, okay?
Amen.
I'm for the Constitution. Number one, I'm for the Word of God.
Amen.
And number two, I'm for the Constitution of the United States of America. Now, let me tell you something. This phrase was also coined in a letter. Framer of the Constitution, Third President Thomas Jefferson, wrote to the Danbury Baptist Association, assuring them that he would keep the government out of the church,
yep,
not the church out of the government.
Amen.
Reg, a couple months ago, I had a guy come to me, said, "I don't think you ought to be any Christians run for office. I don't think you ought to be involved. I don't think you ought to go vote or anything else." So I said, "You're going to turn this nation over to the God deniers and the God haters,
yep,
and the Bible haters,
yep,
and the atheists and the sodomites.
Yep.
You're going to turn the nation over to them, and you think this nation is going to be blessed?"
Yeah.
No, it's not going to be blessed.
Amen.
Nope.
I pray that God raise up people that will take a stand.
Amen.
If God wants them to run for office,
yes,
do it.
Amen.
If God wants them to preach, do it.
Yes.
Whatever God wants you to do.
Amen.
But stand for the truth and stand for the Word of God and stand for this nation. He was saying, talking about Thomas Jefferson, "Never again will there be a government-sponsored church like he had back in England where everyone is forced to attend and to support."
That's right. Amen.
Now, I may be talking to some preachers and pastors that are listening online today because they've shut their churches down. Let me give you a little message here. The First Amendment to the Constitution says, Congress shall make no law representing an established religion or prohibiting the free exercise thereof.
Right.
And the Bible says in Hebrews 10:25, not forsaking the assembling of yourselves together, as the manner of some is, and so much the more as you see the day approaching.
Amen.
No one has the right to tell you to shut down the house of God.
Amen.
I'm not saying you can't cancel a service once in a while and have a time of fellowship. I'm not that stupid, okay? I realize that's okay. I'm talking about some government official. I'm talking about governor, mayor, president, or anybody else has no right to tell you to shut your church down.
Amen.
There is such a thing as separation of church and state, and it's a one-way street.
Yes,
sir. Yeah. The government stays out of the business of the church.
Amen.
The first colonies, Jamestown, Virginia, first community building was a church. They didn't build a courthouse. They didn't build a grocery store first. They built a church. And matter of fact, it's the only building there with a wall that's still standing today. When the Puritans came to Plymouth Rock, the first thing they did, their first act, was to kneel, praise God, and dedicate that colony to God.
Amen.
Roger Williams was a Baptist minister established Rhode Island. I guess he shouldn't have been involved in that. Lord Baltimore held church service in establishing Maryland. William Penn, who was a Quaker, established Pennsylvania, New York, Delaware, Connecticut, North Carolina, South Carolina, and Georgia. When you read these writings, you see no doubt that God birthed America.
Amen.
William Penn, in writing government policies for Pennsylvania, said this: all treasurers, all judges, and all elected officials must profess their faith in Jesus Christ. Not in God.
Yeah.
Not that they believe in God, but they must profess their faith in Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Boy, that'd sure weed them out today, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
Don't you know that'd get Nancy Pelosi's panties in a wad? Our founding fathers consistently spoke of the need for utilizing the Bible and Judeo-Christian values in defining and preserving this nation. 12 of the 13 colonies incorporated the entire Ten Commandments into their civil and criminal codes. Our first president, George Washington, took the oath of office and put his hand on what? It wasn't the Koran. It was the Bible. And he put his hand on it and he took the oath of office. You know the second thing he did? He picked it up and he kissed it.
Yes, sir.
Huh?
Amen.
Boy, wouldn't the news media go berserk with that?
Yeah.
Oh, bad enough to hold it up in front of a church that's burned.
Yeah.
Kissing the Bible? Oh, my. We're going to have to impeach him for that. You know what his third act was? He took the House and Senate back to their chambers, had a two-hour praise and worship service praising God for the nation that was founded. Boy. Boy, don't you know that Chuck Schumer would really look down those glasses if you did that? What? Two-hour praise and worship service? You've got to be joking. It wouldn't hurt him a bit. Did you know that?
That's right.
Wouldn't hurt him a bit. Wouldn't hurt him a bit. You know how the Congress is opened every day? Open the session in prayer. Who led those prayers? Chaplains. How were those chaplains paid? Tax dollars. Doesn't sound like to me that they wanted God out of the country. That they didn't want God out of the government. Who decided to put "In God We Trust" on our coins? And they'd like to take that off, I tell you for sure. If adopted by Congress in 1956. In 1776, 11 of the 13 colonies required that one had to be a Christian to be eligible to run for political office.
Amen.
Whew. Boy.
Right.
Oh, I tell you what, that Amen. Cut their throat, wouldn't it? That mean no abortion supporters could make it.
Yep.
Huh?
Amen.
Fancy Nancy's out the door. No sodomites.
Amen.
Huh? In 1777, the Continental Congress voted to spend $300,000 to buy Bibles for distribution in the nation.
Yes, sir.
I don't know how high priced a Bible was in 1777, But for $300,000, Pastor, you could buy a bunch of them. I'd like to see how far that bill would go today in Congress. $300,000 to buy a Bible. I'm coming to join you, honey. About half of them would pass out and the others would run out. President John Adams said the law given from Sinai was a civil and municipal code as well as a moral and religious code. 94% of the writings of the founding fathers of the U.S. contain quotations from the Word of God. The state constitutions of all 50 states mention God. The famous Liberty Bell has a part of Leviticus 25:10 inscribed on it. It says, "Proclaim liberty throughout all the land unto all the inhabitants thereof." Proverbs chapter 14, verse 34 is inscribed above the L.A. City Hall door. "Righteousness exalteth the nation, but sin is a reproach to any people." An image of Moses carrying the tables of God's law faces the Speaker of the House of Representatives. I bet she don't like that. The entering president takes his oath of office with his right hand on the Holy Bible and concludes his vow, "So help me God." The Supreme Court building entrance features Moses at the center of several lawgivers. The justices must enter from the back and begin each of the sessions with the phrase, "God save the United States and this honorable court." The first president and the first vice president and the second president, John Adams, wrote in 1798, "Our Constitution was made only for a moral and religious people. It's wholly inadequate to the government of any other." That's why they hate the Constitution.
Right.
Amen.
That's why they hate the First Amendment.
Right.
They don't want you to come to the house of God when you want to come. They want to tell you when you can come. And how many can come. And how far you can set apart. And whether you wear a face mask or not. I hope you haven't drunk that Kool-Aid.
Amen.
Amen. The only ones I want 6 feet away from me, Brother Pastor, is the Liberal Democrats.
Amen.
I don't want them very close.
Amen.
I don't want none of their junk to rub off on me. Okay? Face mask. You know what you're doing when you're wearing that face mask? We breathe in oxygen. We exhale carbon dioxide.
Amen.
And the carbon dioxide staying right there. So you're breathing that carbon dioxide again and again and again. And I tell you what, you think I have a headache normally, you put one of them on me, and my head will be thump, 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 thump in no time. I talked to a lady in Town and Country the other day. She had one on. She said, "I'm as sick as a horse." She said, "Every day I got to come in there and put that stupid mask on." I said, "Listen, you see me come up here, you jerk that sucker off and get you some fresh air." Get you some fresh air. Stay inside. COVID-19 will get you. You're better off outside.
Amen.
There's not a homeless person that come down with COVID-19.
Amen.
But all the people that stayed in the house and wore their little mask. Coughing and they're taking on, huh?
You're telling them the truth.
Well, it's the truth. They might as well. They don't like it, but that's all right. They need to hear it before they die. They need to hear it. Oh, I'll tell you what. You know, used to I wonder how the Jews got exterminated like they did. Loaded onto the boxcars. Hey, I can see.
Yes, sir.
I can see.
Amen.
Did you know Joplin come one vote short of everybody in the city of Joplin having to wear a mask the other day?
Yep.
One vote short.
Yep. Lord have mercy.
I may not be able to go to town for the soap with. I guess I'll go back to shooting rabbits. That rabbit gum that you talked about the other night, brother.
Yeah,
Jeremy. Yeah. Trap them rabbits. Go squirrel hunting. You know. Thomas Jefferson said, "I tremble for my country when I reflect that God is just, that His justice cannot sleep forever."
Amen.
Think about that. That His justice cannot sleep forever. John Quincy Adams, the son and sixth president of John Adams, said, "No book in the world deserves to be so unceasingly studied and so profoundly meditated upon as the Bible." In 1781, now these are people that they're calling deists, okay? 1781, Theodore Roosevelt, America's 26th president, wrote, "In this actual world, a churchless community, a community where men have abandoned and scoffed at or ignored their religious needs, is a community on the rapid downgrade." You understand that? 1917, Woodrow Wilson, our 28th president and governor of New Jersey, said this: America was born a Christian nation. America was born to exemplify that devotion to the elements of the righteousness which are derived from the revelations of the Holy Scripture. In 1911, Calvin Coolidge, our 30th president, said this about our founding fathers: they were intent upon establishing a Christian commonwealth in accordance with the principle of self-government. They were an inspired body of men. Inspired. It has been said that God sifted the nation that he might send choice grain into the wilderness. Who can fail to see it in the hand of destiny? Who can doubt that it's been guided by a divine providence? Franklin Roosevelt prayed this prayer on a national radio hookup on D-Day, June 6, 1944, as our troops stormed the beaches of Normandy, France. He said, "Almighty God, with thy blessing we shall prevail over the unholy forces of our enemy. Help us to conquer the apostles of greed and racial arrogance. Lead us to the saving of our country. Thy will be done, Almighty God. Amen."
Amen.
Harry Truman, our 33rd president, not known to be a committed believer, understood the spiritual heritage of this nation. As a matter of fact, his mother told him to always back Israel.
That's right.
He said this: "If men and nations would but live by the precepts of the ancient prophets and the teaching of the Sermon on the Mount, problems would now seem so difficult would soon disappear."
Yeah.
Gerald Ford, our 38th president, quoted a 1955 speech by Dwight Eisenhower on December 5th, 1974. "Without God, there would be no American form of government nor American way of life. Recognition of the Supreme Being is the first, the most basic expression of Americanism. Thus said the founding fathers of America saw it, and thus with God's help, it will continue to be." President Ronald Reagan said, "If we ever forget that we are one nation under God, we'll be one nation gone under."
Yeah.
George W. Bush was asked to name the philosopher that had the greatest influence on his life. This was his answer. He said, "Christ, because he changed my heart."
Amen.
Listen, it's time for modern day Americans to wake up and smell the roses.
Amen.
If we don't wake up, we're going to lose our nation.
Right.
It's just that simple.
Right.
Need to realize your warped attitude stinks.
Amen.
Huh? Stinks to high heavens to me.
Amen.
I tell you what, I come in the other day and they flashed Nancy, Fancy Nancy on the TV for a second. Then they went to Chuck E. Cheese there in the Senate, Schumer. And then they went to Black Lives Matter and at Antifa. My eyes ready to fight a bear.
Yeah.
I couldn't find one. I know there's some down there because I've seen them. But I couldn't find one. It's time for Americans today to wake up and smell the roses, realize their warped attitude stinks, and is inaccurate as to the facts of American history.
Yeah.
And you parents,
yes, sir,
that send your kids across the road,
yes, sir,
they don't have the same history books they had when I went to school.
Right.
They don't have them. They've got different ones.
Yeah.
They got about this much on George Washington, the father of our nation. About two lines, a couple of paragraphs at the most. And then they start in on something else. But the important things are never mentioned.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
So you got a generation. My dad's generation is pretty much passed off.
Yeah.
Your dad's in that generation. Brother Lakey, you're in that generation. Not many of them left around. So we're going to lose that generation. And then my generation, you know, I'm 69 years old. I know I look about 40, but I'm 69 years old. We'll be long, brother. My generation will be passed away.
Amen.
Who's going to know the truth?
That's it. Yeah.
Like you said about the Bible today.
That's it.
If you haven't got the Word of God, you haven't got the truth.
That's right.
If you haven't got the King James Bible, you haven't got the truth of the Word of God. Truly, if you want to be great again, we must seek to be godly again. Also, we don't want to look at her guilt. The guilt of America lies in the indifference and complacency of God's people. Edmund Burke said this: "All that is necessary for triumph of evil, for evil to triumph, is a good man do nothing." When you read the book of Judges, you'll clearly see God would rather forgive and restore than to judge. Over and over, Israel would turn their back on their godly heritage. Then they would repent. God would forgive them and restore them. But 2 Chronicles 7:14 says this: "If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked way, then will I hear from heaven, forgive their sin, and heal their land." It's conditional. If my people, not if the ungodly, not if the unsaved, not the sodomite crowd, but if my people, those that are redeemed and saved by the blood of Jesus, if they will call upon the name, humble themselves, and pray and seek my face. When I was growing up at home, my dad would have a serious talk with me once in a while. He'd say, "Son, sit down." I'd go, I knew when he said that, I'd in deep trouble. I'd go over and sit down. He'd say, "I want you to look at me right in the eyes. And you didn't drop your gaze either." He had something he wanted to say. It was important. God said, if you seek my face, seek means you're searching. You're searching. You're searching. That's like getting in the Word of God and you read it, you study, you're searching for the truth. He said, if my people which are called by my name shall humble themselves. We're a proud bunch, aren't we? We're a proud bunch. Then he says, pray. We won't do that either. And seek my face and turn from their wicked ways. What wicked ways is that? He didn't mention them here. Just anything that's not right. Jealousy, be a wicked way. Hatred, strife. Then will I hear from heaven. Not until. But then will I hear from heaven, will forgive their sin and heal their land. You see, I'm glad we have Donald Trump in the White House. But let me tell you something. The solution is not entirely in the White House.
Amen.
The solution is not entirely in the State House.
Amen.
The solution is not entirely in God's house. But the solution is in your house and my house.
Amen.
Now quickly, I got 3 minutes. Five things I want to share with you about obeying God's word. And we'll give you the painful one first. First of all, we must participate in paying for government. I didn't hear an amen one. Boy, is anybody out there? Maybe I better clean my glasses a little bit here. I know, I don't like it either. You know, take it up with God when you see him. Let me ask you a question. What government was in charge when Jesus was on this earth? The Roman Empire, not a godly government, okay? What did Jesus say? Pay it. Pay it. I don't like it any more than you do. You know, especially when they take half of what you earn. He paid his taxes. You say they're unfair. I agree. You say they take the money and waste it. I agree. They spend it on things I don't agree with. Amen. Have you read Romans chapter 13? I'm not going to turn there. I haven't got the time. Pay your taxes. Pay for government. Pray for government. Are you doing that? That didn't cost you anything. 1 Timothy 2:1 says, I exhort therefore that first of all, supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings, and for all those that are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. Pray for our leaders. Pray for revival. Pray for the election coming up. Pray that God would use our leaders to defeat our enemies. I'm not talking about enemies specifically outside of the United States. Some of the greatest enemies we have was right here in this country. The Bible says the king's heart is in the hand of the Lord. As the rivers of water, he turns it wherever he wants. We need to pay for government, pray for government, praise our nation. Got a lot of problems, but despite all of that, it's the greatest nation on earth.
Amen.
We need a revival of good old-fashioned patriotism.
Amen.
We're not seeing it, but we need it.
Right.
We need it. One of the most stupid things I've ever heard in my 69 years of living is defund the police. Huh? Defund the police. They haven't got half a brain cell. You know that? They're completely out of brain cells. Defund the police. I say let's defund Congress. Not just defund them and send them home. They ain't done nothing the last 3 years. Try to get rid of the president. They haven't accomplished that yet, but they've tried awful hard. So we need to praise our nation. Pay for our government. Pray for our government. Praise our government. Participate in the government.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Let me tell you something. If God's people on election day in November Don't hit the polls. You're going to have Creepy Joe as your president. Huh?
Yep.
You're going to have Creepy Joe as your president. He'd come and fondle your little daughters.
Right.
Yep, that's what he does. Just watch him.
It's the truth.
Huh? Little 7, 8, 10-year-old girl there throwing his arms around him. If he does that to my granddaughter or great-grandchild, I'll knock the snot out of him.
Amen.
Huh?
Right.
He's got no right to do that to anybody's girl.
Right.
And he hasn't got a mind.
Amen.
So you know who's going to run it?
Yeah.
Fancy Nancy is going to run it.
Yep.
And where she don't know what to do, Chuck E. Cheese Schumer will help her out a little bit.
Yep.
So you better hit the polls.
Amen.
If your heart is beating and you have a pulse, if you need a ride, you call me.
Yeah.
I will get you there somehow, some way. But we got to keep them out of the power in this nation.
Right.
We have to do that. Participate in the government. It's our Christian duty to get informed and do something. I talked to a guy not too long ago. He said, well, I haven't decided who I'm going to vote for. Oh, man, I heard that 4 years ago. I said, are you for abortion? Why, no. Well, I said, the decision's made.
Yeah.
It's made. Are you for more government? Well, no. Where's the guy's brain at?
Yeah.
Huh? I can tell you one thing. You think taxes are high now, you let Sleepy Joe get in there and see what happens.
Yeah.
Shame on the Christian who will pledge allegiance to that flag.
Yeah.
And does not take action when election day comes.
Amen.
Now, if you're sick in the hospital or you're in the grave, I understand, okay? But shame on the Christian who pledges allegiance to the flag and doesn't take any action to keep that flag free.
Amen.
And shame on the Christian who pledges their allegiance to a political party instead of to the principles, the biblical principles on which this nation was founded.
Right.
Participate in government, persuade our government. Can I really make a difference? Yes, you can.
Yes, that's right.
Wearing mask, not wearing mask, won by one vote on the city council in Joplin the other day. Did you know when this nation was founded, there was one vote that kept us from speaking German?
Yep.
I bet some of you didn't know that. I'm telling you the truth. One vote. One vote. And a lot of elections, more than what you would think, are decided by one vote.
Yep. Yep.
One vote. So we have to participate. Get you a sign, stick it in your yard.
Amen.
Huh? I stopped by Earth Outdoors the other day and grabbed one of Ann's signs. Now, we're not a heavy traffic area down there, but bless God, they know who I'm going to vote for. And if there's some undecided down there, I'll try to change their mind between now and election.
Amen.
I'm simply saying we enjoy the freedoms that other people have paid a high price for. We won't turn a tap and go to the polls to try to keep that freedom.
Right.
We're all bound by sin. John 8:32 says, you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. You may be listening to me today and you're not a child of God. You need to get saved.
Amen.
That's the most important thing you can do right now.
Right.
Is accept Christ as your personal Savior. We're all born bound by sin. Jesus holds the keys to set you free from the penalty of sin in Romans 6:23, from the pollution of sin, and from the power of sin. The freedoms that we enjoy today are free to us.
Yes.
But freedom is not free.
Right.
Freedom costs people's lives.
Right.
You've heard the truth. Now what are you going to do with it? Do you want this nation to be godly again? I do. Pastor, I remember going to school across the street over here back in the 60s. And I can remember that start out the day with prayer there in grade school when I was in grade school. So that would have been the late 50s, early 60s. And they'd line you up and you got ready to go to lunch. That asked the blessing over your lunch before you ever walked out of the room.
Yep.
And of a morning, the teacher would open the Bible and read some scripture from the Word of God. If you think that's going on over there now, your brain has slipped a clog. Because it's not going on over there like that now. Things have changed. Not always for the better. So what do? We get involved. Seek God again.
Amen.
And when we seek God, get real with God. My dad would get real with me. He'd say, son, if I would look away, he'd say, son, you look at me. You put your eyes right on my eyes. He didn't want me looking away because he knew I wasn't paying attention. When God says, seek me, he's saying, you lock your eyes on me.
Amen.
You look at me. Looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, of the joy that was set before him, endured the cross, despised the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. I've got 8 little great-grandkids. My grandkids are grown. The last one got married last Saturday. I was able to officiate the service of all of them. Thank God it's over. What? Somebody asked me there, are you ready to start on the greats? I said, no, the oldest one's 10 years old. It's going to be a while. I may be gone to glory before that happens. What kind of nation are we going to leave these little kids? Because we're going to leave a nation that's going to hell in a handbag? Are we going to leave a nation that doesn't know anything about God? Or are we going to seek God and try to change the direction that this nation's going? That's what it's going to take. It's going to take people, God's people, seeking God. Okay? And I hope today this message has done something, not entertained you, but has maybe given you some information you'd know anything about. Because everything that I mentioned today that I read to you out of this is true. It's true. Let's stand this morning if you would. And I just like to have you stand and bow your head. Maybe you'd like to come and pray today for your family or yourself. Maybe you're here today, or maybe you're listening online and you need to be saved. I want you to get right with God. You know, I think we've tinkered with God long enough. I think it's time to really get serious with the Lord. I want my children and grandchildren and great-grandkids and whoever else might be in my family, I want them to have a godly nation. I want them to have a nation that honors God, reverences the Lord. But that won't just happen. It'll happen because somebody's willing to pray. Somebody's willing to get on their face before God and pray and plead on behalf of this nation. I tell you, we've got a lot of people like to see this nation be a socialist nation. How'd you like your little bit of socialism a few months ago? Walk into Walmart, there's no milk, there's no meat, there's no toilet paper, there's no cereal. Reminded me of our trip to Russia, Brother Reg, a few years ago. You walk into those stores over there, there's very little of anything on the shelves. I'm thankful we live in a land of plenty. But we need to pray it and let God keep it a land of plenty, all right? So we have a lady praying over there. If you'd like to come and pray, come right ahead. I'm going to turn it over to the pastor.